Well, I'm not suggesting New South Wales are going to go on a long run. It is a little bit similar to where we were with Queensland in 2005, when a lot of those older players were given a tap on the shoulder and saying, you need to basically win this game or you're going to be out. Suddenly he had me believing we may be some sort of chance to win. But am I fooling myself or what?
Well, you wouldn't believe it. I was only thinking about this morning, getting ready for making some notes for the show. This is going to sound silly. I think we've got the 17 to win.
Right, this week's preview episode. Steve, some huge name injuries out for this weekend. What else we got?
Mate, we got the Broncos earlier than everyone else. We're going to put the red line through another contender on tonight's episode.
Oh, looking forward to hearing who you are going to destroy tonight. And potentially could be the last Origin for a few New South Wales Blues if they do not perform next Wednesday night. Let's get into it. Now, let's start with the injuries. Isaiah Katoa has been held in high regard by the people that know these things for a long time. He started the season a little bit slow, but he was just probably the last couple of months really warming to it and playing some of his best football, to the point a few people said probably the form half of the competition, which is big considering who he's up against.
Yep.
Can the Dolphins manage this? How are they going to do that? How are they going to get through this time without Katoa?
Yeah, it'll be big for them, Hawk. It really will. To your point, he had those first couple of weeks. I think that was more getting their head around the new rules. And then all of a sudden, they just went bang. Away they went. You can tell they've obviously done a lot of work in the off-season on their defence. You know, they've got the third-best defence, fourth-best defence in the competition. So that was their focus clearly in the off-season. And their attack took a little while. But, you know, once those that rust got stripped away, they've been quite phenomenal. And it all revolves around Katoa. He just gives those outside backs so much time. And we know those five that the Dolphins have are just phenomenal when Katoa's playing direct and straight. So this will be a huge out for them. They're talking anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, depending on how quick he heals. Obviously, he's a young fella. So you'd hope it's closer to that 4 to 5 week period. But it's an interesting period for the Dolphins. We're going to say that you're going to need 15 to 16 wins to make the top four. This year it's very compressed, so you may get away with 15. They're currently sitting on 10, so they're going to need five more wins. The easier gains for them are towards the back end. So they've got the Dragons, Broncos, Para and Titans that you would think, all being fair, they should get those wins. So I think all being even and they don't go and lose anyone else, I think the Dolphins are staring down the barrel of a top four finish even without Katoa. But this will be a really good test for them, not only to get through these tough next couple of games. They've got the Knights, Sharks, Cows the next 3 weeks, three teams that have had varying form but are all around that top eight position. So this is really important stretch these next 3 weeks without Katoa. But then, that being said, this is going to freshen him up nicely as well. So if they lob on those four wins and they make the top four, a fresh Katoa coming back with those last few games just to really tune up again, I still like their chances. But we're in for a really interesting next 3 or 4 weeks for the Finns.
Yeah, spot on. It's interesting because that's really worked for Cleary over the last few years. He seems to have had injuries around this time of the year, and it has freshened him up. Ironically, or coincidentally, maybe Brad Schneider, who's been one of those halves that's filled in for Cleary in the past, who's the guy stepping into the hot seat there at the Dolphins. It will be interesting to see how he performs outside of that Panther system. Clearly, the Dolphins are heading in the right direction too, so they've got a guy there who can step in. But we're talking about a significant difference. So it may be that they start to play the game a little bit differently. This is their last weekend without Origin stars, so they'll have everyone back on deck from next week, injuries aside. So you imagine that those four games, yes, to finish the season, they'll win those comfortably, and you would think they're going to jag more than one game between now and then, so you'd expect them to be absolutely in that top four. Another big one this weekend, but maybe, like, is it that big? we got Jerome Luai has had delayed concussion symptoms. Now, he has obviously he's had some moments where he's had an impact for the Tigers, but he doesn't seem to be the person that's made the biggest impact. One of those that has is Alex Twell. He's back this week. We talked last week about them getting Adam Dewey back. So do you think he's as big an out as maybe we would have thought 12 months ago?
Well, yeah, probably not is the answer on the surface, mate. To your point, he had that one absolutely standout performance a couple of weeks ago, but he struggled this season. He really has. He's taken a backward seat to Dewey when he's been fit playing half. And they've played that really power game through the forwards, and then those outside backs that Taylor May that carry the ball so strongly. So they haven't really relied on Jerome as much as what we would have thought on the outset. But to me, he's just one of those players that they like to see in the dressing room. It just gives them that confidence that he's out there on the field. And you talk about being a professional presenter, mate. That's a perfect segue into my red line. So I'm putting a line through the Tigers, unfortunately, for the Tigers. And on the back of the Luluai injury, I went through and had a look at what they're looking at. They're obviously heading towards the top eight. They're going to need 12 to 13 wins. It's been over the years. And currently they're only sitting on 7. So they've got to have 5 wins. They've still got Warriors, Roosters, Cowboys, Penrith, Raiders down there, and the Bulldogs, who are starting to get some form. So they do play the Dragons twice and Parramatta once. They're vital wins. So those three games, they have to win those three and hope to jag another two. But that is an awful run home. So if they don't beat the Dragons this weekend, it's going to be up against them. And the Dragons keep getting better, mate. I know I'm a long-suffering fan, and the Tigers fans won't be happy to hear this, but the Dragons won't be pushovers this weekend. And without these 2 points, I just can't see the Tigers having enough in the bank to get them over the line in the top eight.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, mate. They don't seem to be getting better. If anything, that their form has actually fallen off a cliff in the middle of the season after they started so promisingly. Yep. It will be interesting to see how those two key players impact the team and whether they bring some of that confidence back. So that's their only hope. But, yeah, I'm with you on this one, mate. I think they're done. And I think that from what I've just been reading of some of their fans on different fan sites for the Tigers, they're pretty disappointed and want answers, because this was meant to be the year. They've missed the finals for such a long time, and I think it was 15 years, and they were thinking this was going to be the turnaround, and it's looking like there's going to be another year without them playing finals footy in September. So feel for the Tigers fans. Both of us know what it's like to have our team struggling, and they've been struggling more than most. So, yeah, hopefully they are heading in the right direction soon. Okay, let's get to the previews for this weekend. Another one of those rounds badly impacted by Origin. Some teams obviously more so than others, and one of those teams features in the first game of the weekend, Panthers, Rabbitohs, Cleary away, Yeo away, now Liam Martin away. They just keep on keeping on. But I think this Origin period's probably been the one that they haven't gone as well as previous years. They're playing the Bunnies, who looked pretty good last Thursday and have been going okay. They'll be without Cam Murray, which to me makes a huge difference. Probably has more of a negative impact on the team than missing Latrell. But on the upside, they get Jack Whiten back. What do you think, mate? Are the Panthers a chance without their big three there?
Oh, look, they're a chance, but to your point, we spoke on Monday's episode. They're 2-2 this last month of football, buys aside. So they need to, not for competition points. Look, they're that far ahead. They're going to finish first, and when you're playing in Sydney, first or second is not going to matter either. So it's not so much for that. It's just so some of these other players can just take a little bit of pressure off those three Origin players. They also lose Papali'i for the week as well. So he'll be another one. So that forward pack, while they've obviously still got Moses Leota there up front, that's a little bit lighter on, a little bit weaker forward pack than they've seen in years gone by. And that South Sydney forward pack, they're nothing to be sneezed at. Obviously, Kalau Matangi he's been having a huge couple of months of footy. Fifita's starting to show a little bit with the ball. And Talis Duncan moves back into the second row from the centres, and he's been on fire. So that's really good for the South team. And obviously, Jack Whiten back from injury will be a huge positive for them. He was really good on that right-hand side of the field to start the season before he went down injured. Took a little bit of attention off Latrell on the left, which we weren't expecting. So, look, for mine, I don't mind South here, which is not something I probably would have said a month ago. But I think South are just going a little bit better without Penrith's star players there.
Yep, I tend to agree on that one as well, mate. It'll be interesting to see whether you actually tip. Go with that tip this week, or whether you have a last minute change of mind.
I'm not tipping real well at the moment. One thing I will tip you into is I don't know whether they bet on it, mate. Even though we should be betting responsible, but look out for Brian Tuo to run 200 metres, mate. He will have an absolute monster game against South, and he will go berserk. So yeah, keep an eye out for him, mate.
Mm. Other interesting point with the Panthers. We got Cleary getting off the bus at the end of 27. They've just given Moses Leota the opportunity to explore other offers. He's contracted to the end of next year, but they've said go and have a look. He is getting nudging 30, maybe. What would he be?
I think he was similar to that, mate. He was heading there late 20s. Yeah. There is certainly an interesting thing with the Panthers. Obviously, all the gossip talk is that PNG are trying to recruit as many of them as they can. Yeah. Some of them, I think, are going to be starting to head up too old, but it's a big one. I mean, we brought up the luckless Parramatta Eels reserve grade side last episode. Penrith are leading the competition with only two losses and a draw in reserve grade. So, you know, that pipeline continues to flow well for them. But interesting times, mate. And that could be playing on a few players' minds. We saw that with Lillawai a couple of months ago. That certainly could be having an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Just interesting to see how it'll unfold. Like, we've kept talking about how they'll dominate for many, many years. But there's a lot of those guys that we mentioned in Origin who are off contract at the end of 2027 as well. A lot of them have said they're going to test the market. You would think that the production line will continue, but they start losing the likes of Kenny, Cleary, Edwards, the sort of core of that team that has stayed together. Leota has been a big one because he's been enormous for them. Yeah, it's starting to have a very different look. So maybe there's hope for the rest of the competition after all.
Yeah, 100%, mate. It'll be interesting next couple of months to see how this plays out, especially if PNG jag one of them early. There was a cryptic social media post that PNG dropped that they were advertising the signing 007, their seventh signing. Now, I don't know whether that had anything to do with Cleary or they're just really trying to stir some media attention up, but it'll be very interesting to see if they get one of them. The Telegraph will not let Penrith will not leave the gates at Penrith Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of recruiting from the new clubs, the Bears apparently have signed this young gun halfback. And there's a young fella that does analysis of a whole lot of different things. And he did this post the other day of the young halfback that they've signed. And they showed his New South Wales Cup highlights. And his name escapes me. It was one of those things that when you're scrolling through the news. And the highlights he highlighted a couple of key moments where he set up plays like a veteran, like not just another exciting halfback that runs good lines and is quick, but like really mature football from a kid. So maybe they've gone down the same path the Dolphins did with Katoa. They've invested in youth and they're playing a longer game and they've gone for men of good character. I guess it's like anything, right? Until we see the final product, we maybe we've been a bit harsh on them.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Look, I hadn't seen a lot of that young fella before, but certainly that those highlight packages were pretty impressive. So, yeah, there's no doubt that they should be using the Dolphins as a, you know, as an idea or a goal, the way the Dolphins have built that team and then have continued to grow it over the first few years. I'd still like a few more experienced harder heads in there, which is what the Dolphins went with those Storm signings. Hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But look, at the end of the day, there'll be plenty of opportunities for them. And for those players that do go there, that'll breed opportunities at other clubs for some of these young, exciting talent coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the big game that really is pivotal in what you said before. Is it a must-win game for the Tigers against the Dragons this weekend?
Yeah, I think it is, Hawk. I really do, mate. If you look at the pure numbers of it, they've got a handful of really tough games between now and the end. So they've really got to beat the Dragons twice and Parra once and then hope that they can jag one or two others. If they don't knock over St. George here, the pressure will just start to build for mine. So obviously, Taylor May, Jerome Lilloise is a big out on both accounts. That's really going to test them. Jock Madden's had his ups and his downs this season, and Macassini comes back in the centres. I'd probably prefer him on the wing at this early stage. You know, there's not as many decisions to make in defence, and he just worries about carrying the ball and supporting his inside blokes. So, look, they'll be there and they're going to be very hard to beat. Obviously, they've still got some talent. Dewey's back and our big man at 13, Alex Twell, is in the side. So they're not going to be pushovers, mate, and they probably deserve to be favourites. But this is the first time probably all year since the Vegas game where I've got into a game thinking, yeah, I don't mind the look of this. We're half a chancey.
Yeah, and you guys are pretty much full strength at the moment. And rising, like we've been talking about for a fair few weeks now. Yeah. The Tigers without Taylor May there starting to look a bit thin out wide. Again, they've got a young, good bunch of young players who are now starting to sort of get to that next level. But, yeah, I'm starting to lean towards that as well. The only side note to that I would say is that if Dewey and Twal have as big an impact as we think they will, they're almost like the talismans for the side, that they lift the whole team around them, then they could be heading in the wrong direction. One of the things on the Tigers side, so they're pretty down on Macassini's defence. Yeah, for all his unbelievable flair and attack, that they were pretty harsh on how he'd been defending, and there was a fair few of them thinking that he shouldn't be in the team based on that. So, maybe good times ahead for the Drags.
Yeah, I think poor old Macassini, as I mentioned, it's one of those ones where they're not setting him up to fail, but, you know, they're putting him in a harder spot than they have to be, you know, or they should be. We've spoken about Cooper Clarke at the Storm. He's had an outstanding season, but because of necessity and injuries, they've had to play him on an edge. And it's, you know, you saw it against Olakau'atu last weekend's game. First 10 minutes in, Olakau'atu scored a double. So it's just one of those things. At different times, they've had injuries at different clubs and they've had to put these young fellas in positions that they're not really, you know, up to or suited to at this stage of their careers. So I'd be, you know, disappointed the Tigers fans have gone too hard on him. He's a young fella learning. I know from a Storm's perspective, they've just had Oren Keeley released early from the Dolphins. He's a Norse Devil back rower from the year that they won the national championship. He will slide straight into that left-hand side, and he is an absolute gun. So at any other club, he would have been starting in the second row, but the Dolphins are absolutely stacked. So expect him to have immediate impact for the Storm, and that'll get Cooper Clarke back into the middle where he needs to be. But, yeah, it's disappointing to hear the fans are having a dip at a young fella like Macassini when he's out there still trying to learn the game. So let's hope he has a good one, but not too good that the Dragons still get the W.
Yeah, it's funny. I find that most fan groups are the same. No matter how they're going on the table, there's always those same voices that are being impatient and coming down hard on players that need some time to develop, and it's just human nature. And I don't know. That's one of the joys of following football. It's actually probably one of the frustrations. But it's everyone's right to an opinion, and fortunately or unfortunately, they've got platforms now to as do we, to scream it wherever they like. All right, next game, Bronx Sharks. Now the Bronx are gone from your perspective, and really, like we said the other day, the mathematical possibilities is where we come up to. I did have a bit of a laugh because it's like the Sharks get Nico Hines back, and in the past that hasn't necessarily meant a spike in performance. At the same time, they're also without Fanua Blake, Brayley and Nicara for Origin. So the Broncos, like we talked about on Monday, the Broncos were brave, so, and they've got a host of players back. I reckon there's some kind of hope in this one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, mate. I think those three outs are huge for Cronulla. Their back line is as good as they can put on the park for mine, and it is a red-hot back line. There's no question about it. But that four-pack is pretty skinny. Poor old Cam McGinnis is going to need to lead from the front, and he's obviously not a big man, but he's got a huge heart. So he'll be doing everything they can for them. But that is a very, very... under strength and inexperienced forward pack. That being said, as we've said with the outs for the Broncos, obviously Haas and Walsh are out, two monster outs. They get Shibasaki back and Stagg. He's been dropped from Origin. So that'll certainly help the Broncos backline try and defend against the Sharks. To the point around the Sharks forward pack not being star-studded, neither is the Broncos pack at the moment. That'll be really interesting. I know Billy Walters made a comeback through the Q Cup. He played for the South Logan Magpies on the weekend against the Devils, and he played very well. He played halfback. I notice he hasn't been named in this side yet, so obviously Maguire wants him another week in reserve grade, but he's not far off. By all reports, he played about 50 minutes and played pretty well, scored a try that ended up winning the game. So he'll be thereabouts. Look, for me, Hawk, if you want me to put it out there, I'm going to go the Sharks, but with no real confidence here. I could see the Broncos... at Suncorp putting on a really strong performance and knocking the Sharks over here.
Yeah, we have said it all year, depends which Sharks turn up. It's one they should win. I thought they'd go better last week, but again, it's just that the up and down nature of their season. Everything I'm reading here suggests that the Bronx should be into this one up to their eyeballs, but they've just been awful as well. So toss a coin on that one, I reckon. Next game. Like I mentioned on Monday, this will be a lovely sunny afternoon in Sydney until kickoff, and then the pain will begin. Jonah Pezet back for Jonah Pezet back for Para. He really hasn't offered a great deal this year, but he gets an opportunity to redeem himself playing at seven with a guy who's in a bit of form, the young Ronald Volkman. So that's an upside for Para. And as we know, on the flip side, the Eags will be without Luke Brooks, confirmed ACL. He's out for the season. But still think that the Seagulls should be well too good for Parra on Sunday.
Well, do you think that he's gone the right way, mate, with Pezet over Papali'i? Did I say it?
I think so. I think he's there to do this job, right, when Moses is away. Yeah. And it's not like he's going in to a spot where the person playing that position's been flying, like I've talked about all year. And I just think you got to try and get some money's worth. And he must have been going better in Cup, although like we've talked about, the team hasn't been going well. Mm. I'm still a bit confused about where they're heading, given that they decided that they were going to go 1 year here just to fill a hole because they wanted to promote guys from within. They didn't play Brown last year when he was leaving, but Volkman's played there, but Barley's played a little bit, but like I'm not sure like what their plan is for playing in the six next year. I don't know if Volkman's even been resigned at this point, so that's interesting. Mate, yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit lost, and I know a lot of other Para fans are. I think the overwhelming thing is there's a lot of good young kids there, and it's just about being patient, and which is hard for most fans to take, given we've been patient for a long, long time. I will give a shout out to a guy that I was pretty critical of at the start of the year, and that's Brian Kelly. His numbers the last month have been incredible. He's done away with trying to do anything fancy. He's just tucked the ball under his wing, and he's had some huge carries when we needed it out of our own end, and done some really good stuff in and around the opposition's try line as well too. So if he can keep playing like that, we'll take him on the wing next year as well, because those sort of players are hard to come by. So got to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, good shout, mate. He's certainly been strong for you. Yeah, I'm with you, similar, mate. I think Manly will be too strong. Obviously, the Kola, Brook and Olakau'atu outs are huge, but they've still got that very, very quick back line, mate. Garrick's back for them. And then Joey Walsh gets a start at six. So I was interested hearing Jamal Fogarty come out and said, you know, he hopes that the media and the fans, you know, give Joey Walsh some time. 110%. Unfortunately for Jamal Fogarty, that'll rest on his shoulders. He needs to make sure he steers the team around the park and then let Joey Walsh do what he does off the back of that. So if he can control that game and really step up and grab the steering wheel, that back line is just electric across the park. So I know Parramatta has got some speed, there's no question, but that Manly back line is phenomenal. So I think they'll just be a little bit too strong, mate. Even that four pack's just got that little bit more experience over them. So hopefully it's a good game, mate. It's a full house out at Combank on a sunny Sunday afternoon.
Yep, absolutely. The last game of the weekend, it's a shame that they're not full strength, but I still think this will be a cracking game. It's not often you can say a team without Kalyn Ponga is still going to stay relatively strong, but I think they do. We talked at the start of the year how well Sandon Smith did playing in the halves, and he was doing a great job really controlling when they were missing Brown. They get a guy like Fletcher Sharp who goes back into the one role, and he has been, when he's played there at full back for the Knights, he's been absolutely dynamic. Dominic Young was so good. We've talked about how good Gagai's going. That back line still looks really strong. The unheralded forward pack keeps punching out quality minutes, and you know, like they've still got a really good side there, despite the fact that they're missing Ponga and Best.
Yeah, mate, you wouldn't have thought at the start of the season that we'd see Knights, Dolphins 3-5, and they're missing this many Origin players, and you still look across both teams and you think they're still first grade quality. So, you know, for the Dolphins, obviously, Hammer, Katoa's injured, Bostock gets his made an Origin call-up, Plath, Cobbo, Flegler is huge outs. But then you still look through that back line with Osako and Herbie, yeah. And then that really experienced forward pack with Felice Kafusi, Jeremy Marshall-King. The list goes on, right? So this will be an outstanding game of footy. The Knights haven't been tremendous the last month, but they've been finding ways to win, and that's the mark of a team that's starting to come to life, that's starting to develop and grow. So they're going to need to be a little bit better than they have been the last few weeks if they're going to get this. I'd probably still edge the Dolphins with Marshall King and Cody Nikorima on the in the form that they're in, but I will not be surprised whatsoever with this game that the Knights put in a good performance and knock them over, because this will be a cracking game of rugby league.
Absolutely, but just thought I'd check the forecast, and when I said sunny Sydney afternoon, it absolutely will not be that. It actually looks like it's going to be colder and miserable, so that's a real shame. And Newcastle will be no different, so it's going to be 17 degrees top and up to 5 mils of rain. So that's a shame, because two teams that love to attack, that might change things a little bit, but we also know how well the weatherman goes in New South Wales, so let's not hold our breath on that one. But let's hope there's a bit of sun out and we get two good games. Now let's get to what we talked about off the top of the show about perhaps some of these Origin players for the Blues maybe in danger of their last game. Well, I'm not suggesting New South Wales are going to go on a long run. It is a little bit similar to where we were with Queensland in 2005 when a lot of those older players were given a tap on the shoulder and saying you need to basically win this game or you're going to be out. And we're talking big names, Sivanasiva, Lockyer, and there's another name there that escapes me. And we all know what happened there. Now, again, I'm not expecting the Blues to win this game and roll on a long period of dominance, but the similarities are that there are some players there that you would expect if they can't get the job done this series, it could be the end for them. Who do you think?
Yeah, certainly, mate. Well, the media's been onto them pretty strongly. Obviously, Tedesco's staring down the barrel of his last Origin if this doesn't go New South Wales' way. I can't see a new coach coming in next year on the back of a second series in a row loss and lobbying with Teddy. And then, obviously, Mitchell Moses. They don't get this done, Moses Cleary, then there can only be one of them next year. Right, we can't continue to go down this path. So I think Moses is staring down the barrel of that as well. And then in the forward pack, obviously Yeo. So there's really strong talk that Murray will start at lock, regardless of whether Yeo starts in the front row or off the bench.
Yep.
So he's another one that, for mine, he's staring down the barrel. Rhys Robson, as an example, I think he's been really strong. But he's another one that, pending who comes in to coach the side, will depend on what sort of style of football they play and what hooker they go with. So, unfortunately for Robson, that could be a casualty as well. Because you can just start to see these young players come in, obviously Bostock and Best, and then what you've seen on the bench was Strange. I think Cole has been really unlucky. I understand why they've made the change, and I probably agree with it, but I think he's been really unlucky with the way he's performed. Obviously, Brake Bailey. So there's a number of these young fellas that have either started to have a taste of Origin or have, who have cemented their spot in the side. And then you look at some of these older fellas. If they don't get it done this game next Wednesday up here at Suncorp Stadium, I can see this being their farewell game, mate, in the Blues colours.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the ages of these guys, we've got Isaiah Yeo's 31, Moses 31, Mitch Barnett 32. So there is some ageing players there. I did like what might have been Paul Kent said this week, and he was talking about Rhys Robson, and he said, he'd done a great job when Maguire was there, but Daly hasn't been trying to play like Maguire had them playing. So, and to be honest, I'm not certain on how he does want us to play, because there doesn't seem to be a brand of footy that we can sort of cling to, and this is how we're going to do it, because it's been all over the shop. So I expect that Blake Brayley is just going to continue on the trajectory he's on after touring with the Kangaroos last year, and in a way surprised that he didn't get the starting role. So, yeah, we talk about Ethan Strange in the six, Isaiah Katoa in the seven. Like, how long? I did read an interesting comment from a fan this week. He was talking about Cleary, and he said the word has always been, oh, he just needs this team to be able to dominate an Origin. And it's like, well, how long do we keep changing teams to help him dominate Origin before we say, well, maybe it's the team that's not the problem? And so with Katoa there and putting more pressure on him with each year, it'd be interesting to see which path they go down. Definitely some big pressure on. Now, I also listened to the Bulldog, Richie, talking, and he was talking about the better balance for this New South Wales team. He talked about the, two good centres that have gone up to Suncorp and done the job in the past. Moses was part of that team. He was the halfback for that team that won. And he was just talking, Liam Martin, and you got Martin's obviously not going to be good for 80 minutes, and you got Olakau'atu coming on, Brayley coming on. Suddenly he had me believing we may be some sort of chance to win, but am I fooling myself or what?
Well, you wouldn't believe it. I was only thinking about this morning, getting ready for making some notes for the show. This is going to sound silly. I think we've got the 17 to win. Right? I do. And I've talked myself into it because I'm an absolute diehard Blue fan.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be coming down to how he manages the starting side and the rotation off the bench. and how they're going to defend Harry Grant and Sam Walker. If they can get those right, I actually think that he's got the team to win. I just don't know whether they're going to play. I still would have picked a different team, don't get me wrong, but I think it's thereabouts that if he plays his cards right, I think he's still got a bloody chance to win. Now, I might be kidding myself. I just did pick the Dragons to win a game, so.
To be fair, it's the first time you've made that call all year.
Yeah, I promise you I haven't had a beer all day. I promise you, but I know. I'm an unabashed Blues fan, right? So I have talked myself into it, but. Yeah, and the closer I get, the more I'll think they've got a chance to win. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
But that's the beauty of supporting any sport is that hope. There's always hope. It's like the start of the season. Every club's got hope. Mm-hmm. They convince themselves of ways they think their team can be a contender. You only got to look at your old man at the start of the year with the Drags. If we find a way to make a case for it, and even if we don't outwardly admit it, even though on this show I expected Parra to finish well down the ladder, there's still part of me that is living in hope. My concern is we haven't shown enough in terms of that intent and that intensity and aggression consistently for 80 minutes. We look at game one, it was ball control. We look at the series last year when we had it wrapped up at halftime in game two and then came out and played flat. We look at last game, game two, we came out in the second half and played really flat. And that's a bit of a story of New South Wales. The difference was in 2024, we went up there and won game three, was like I was so confident because of they were well in that game in game one after Sualee had got sent off. They completely dominate game two, and I just felt so confident with that lineup and how they were playing and just the confidence that Michael Maguire had put in each New South Wales fan. Oh, I just don't feel that. It's been interesting to see. There's obviously been some sort of talk in the ex-players who are in the media because now they're suddenly all trying to support Laurie Daly and Phil Gould even came back and showed a clip of, I think some of these players have forgotten, what a good player he was. So Queensland do that all the time. Like, I don't know why it's taken this for them to all get together and just support them no matter what. Because that's what Queensland media always do. They still mount a case of why they think they're going to win. We should be consistent on that. Like, it's, frustration.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, mate. Even the two of us, right, we're just having a chat as mates, but we've focused on the selection of the Blues, who's in, who's out, who should be. And then that Maroon team, they just reel that team out and you go, yep, that's about right. They're going to have a ripping team again. So it's one of those things. It wouldn't have mattered who Daly picked. There would have been people out there questioning it. There were several positions that were up for contention. To your point, I'm more worried about the way they've played rather than who's been in the jerseys.
Yep.
So I know we'll have a big Origin preview on our Monday show next week, but the closer I get, the more I'll lop on New South Wales, but that's more my heart than my head, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that gives me a bit of hope is I noticed a post from Tim Brasher this week talking about how they had the 1996 team in there, the team that I think they played the whole series without changing a player. They had them in there with the team. They win 3-0, or did they make they wanted to see it? Yeah, won 3-0. And he just looks through some of those names. Anyway, it sounds like they all had a great time together. And his final comment was New South Wales looking good. So maybe that's where some of my hopes come from. But if he's got in and around there, good storytelling, got them all fired up and they've got the right message to then take through for the rest of the week, well, again, there's hope for us Blue fans yet.
I'll be hoping and praying, mate. I'll have my Blues jersey on in the middle of Suncorp. Hopefully I'll be smiling, mate, instead of copping shit at the end of the game.
Absolutely. So you go from you're in footy country up there in the top of Queensland today and then back to Suncorp next week, mate.
I'll leave Cairns tomorrow and head back down to Brizzy, but I won't be missing Origin game 3 decider at Suncorp. There's no better place in rugby league, mate.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if we can get a Blues win. Mate, enjoy your weekend, and, yeah, we'll see you early next week for the Origin preview show.
Look forward to it, Hawk. Cheers, mate.